Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covan. It's 7:56 p.m. Eastern on Easter Sunday, April 9th, in the year of our Lord, 2023. The day the Lord hath made, in the year the Lord hath made. How about that? Did you have that on your faith-based hath bingo card? I don't think so. So as you can tell from my voice, or maybe you can, maybe you're not listening closely, I'm still under the weather. My lack of sleep, my lack of will to live, my lack of apparently white blood cells. I don't know what's happening to my immune system. I have full-blown comedy. All right, guys, we went right past HIC, and we're right into full-blown comedy. It's a fatal case. So, lots to talk about today, tonight, whenever you listen to this. Obviously, the good news for all of my fans is I don't really have any more shows to promote. So, yeah, you're off the hook, guys. You no longer have to feel guilty that you're ignoring shows I have. Now I don't have shows. So, you win, comedy career over. Are you happy, fans? I do have one show, Red Bank, New Jersey, April 29th. Info is on my website. Feel free to ignore it, but it is a very good show. Headlined by Bonnie McFarlane. So I figure if this is the last show of my career, it's fitting that I go out as a feature act. I came into this world as a middle act, and I go out of the comedy world as a middle act. We tried. We did the best we could, guys. We got famous. That's usually good. We worked hard on our comedy. We had talent. We got famous. And when you put that all together and you shake it all about, that's what fucked up my career, apparently, because it didn't work. So, you know, some people, for some people, hard work, fame, and talent is a winning combination. For me, it was the kiss of death. So, Red Bank, New Jersey, April 29th. Come see Requiem for JLC. It should be truly historic and fun for the three people who know who I am that come to the show. Lots to talk about. My special. Guys, I watched the first, just a rough edit. Not even an edit. It was just one camera of Tallboy. So there was voting on my Patreon. And guys, you exceeded all expectations. I have 102 Patreon subscribers. Will you be number 103? Of course not. All it has is bonus podcasts, exclusive videos, tons of content you can't get anywhere else. But why would a J.L. Covan comedy fan want more exclusive comedy from J.L. Covan? That doesn't even make sense. Jeez, what was I thinking? But I put up a poll, and I predicted like 15% participation, but you blew me away with 42% participation. 42 people, as of this podcast, out of 102 paying comedy fans, so just a tick under 42% participation, clicked on a button on a free post that required less than 1 minute of reading. So the engagement is off the charts right now from my families. Almost half of my Patreon subscribers participated in a 30-second poll question that will determine the title of my 8th album / second special. So not an important thing I'm doing, just the second special ever in my career, but good, 42%. So thank you, 42%. You did it. And everybody else who couldn't find the time, that's okay. Thank you for your money. Thank you for your support, I guess, your patronage. I don't know if support is maybe the right word. Patronage. Thank you for thanks for your money. I don't know if I have any support from you, but thank you for your money. But Tallboy, which was I was already leaning towards, but Tallboy is going to be the title of the second special, which at this rate, we're Vegas has it at 50-50 odds that Tallboy ends up being my first special. I wrote something interesting on Facebook today, which is basically half blackface, the first special, soon to become the second special, was first recorded in October of 2021, before the NBA season began, the 2021-22 NBA season. Half-Black Face is not out yet, and the 22-23 NBA season just concluded, the regular season. So that's impressive to make it two full NBA seasons, two Easters. I was 42, I was 42 when we recorded Half Blackface, and I turned 44 in 15 days. So a lot of milestones are just being blown away while Half Blackface, I'm guessing it was a catch and kill operation. If you don't know what a catch and kill operation is, congratulations. You have not been paying attention to any news regarding Donald Trump for the last 7 years. Basically catch and kill is when like the National Enquirer would buy the exclusive rights to a story and then never publish it, so that they had like the legal right to snuff out stories that were not favorable to Donald Trump. I think that's what's happened with Half Blackface. I think they just bought the rights to it and paid me my money and are just never going to do anything with it. And my only question with that, the question that has bothered me for years in my comedy career, fine. Let's say there is a conspiracy against me. I just want to know who and why. I think I would sleep well at night instead of waking up at 2:45 in the morning every fucking night for the last 3 years, as the bags under my eyes get heavier, darker, and make me an uglier human being inside and out. I just want to know who and why. That's all. But I probably never will find out, and maybe it's just God that hates my comedy. Anyway, guys, what if Westboro Baptist Church just starts showing up to funerals of comedians, holding up signs saying, God hates JL's comedy? Anyway, guys, special updates, there it is. I've watched Tall Boy, just the straight-through shot with no edits and everything. I've already made some editorial notes about some things to edit out, but very happy with it. It's a really strong hour, and I think, you know, as I always have to, I'm my own hype man. This is a double-barreled shotgun of fucking hot, intense, strong, original comedy. There ain't no gimmick here. It's not like, look at me, I'm fucking jerking off while drinking whiskey, doing a special, ooba-dooba-doo, or this is the crowd work, guys. This is, I'm just making content and abusing the platform I have to produce, you know, marginally prepped comedy, but presenting it as a special. These are two fucking aces in the hole. These are fucking dynamite. So at some point, I hope the dwindling fan base I have, watches them, enjoys them, spreads the word. But at this point, guys, who gives a shit? Nobody. I agree. But it's my nightmare scenario, as you know. It's that after all this time, I thought I was making specials for a bigger fan base and going to make an even bigger impact on my comedy career. Like, once people who already liked me for impressions saw that I was an elite, prolific stand-up comic with not one but two great specials coming out in a short amount of time. But the truth is, that's the fantasy that I've been... I mean, it's a rational... evidence, fact-based fantasy that I thought was going to come true, but it's not. We all know it's not going to come true. It's not going to end up like that at all. But, you know, my nightmare is that I would make great work for a long time and nobody would hear it or see it. And on that note, thank you to the... I had made a petition on Patreon and on this show and on Making Podcasts Great Again that all my albums were now back up on Amazon, Apple, Tidal. This was a very distressing situation because it was literally my life's work. And if I'm going to leave this business and not achieve my financial or other kind of entertainment career goals, I was very upset because it was like, but my legacy then is my work. My work is still there. If two people want to listen to it, then so be it. But they're going to hear this good material that I worked hard on and leave to the world. And those disappeared due to a fucking bullshit lawsuit when I exited the lawsuit, it totally fucked things up that shouldn't have been because of lazy, irresponsible work. But I got them back on. They're all on. On various platforms? No, not on everybody. And as soon as you name like nine platforms, the only people who speak up are, but what about Schnitzelplitzel? You didn't load your stuff up on Schnitzelplitzel? They have really affordable subscription plans, so you should really think about getting yourself on Schnitzelplitzel, because that's actually like more of a platform for the people. And if you don't do that, JL, you're just a fucking hack and fucking terrible. And so they're on a lot of platforms, but not on Spotify, not on Pandora right now, because that's related to the lawsuit, the serious Pandora stuff. Here comes Cookie. She obviously liked the sound of Lieder Schmitzel or whatever the fuck I called that fake platform. There probably is a real platform named that. It's a very hot platform in Finland. So over the last week, I made social media and podcast pleas to fans and supporters and friends. Hey, you know, now my stuff's back up. So if you buy it, great. If you've already bought it, don't feel like buying it again. Maybe stream it. Cookie, cut the shit. If you don't feel like, if you've already streamed it or you're not in the mood, just leave a review. Leave a 5-star review on Amazon or preferably Apple. And so I checked a day ago. I checked... you know, just curious, like, oh, let's see how many ratings and reviews. You know, I got a lot of fans. They obviously know this meant a lot to me, even if it's just podcast listeners and stuff. You know, as Twitter kind of suppresses me and ignores me, that's fine. But, you know, I still have, like, you know, hundreds of people had reviewed these albums. Thousands had bought them over the years and streamed them. So, like, let's just see how many reviews we have. And out of 6 albums that are now back up, there was on Apple, drumroll please, 1 total review and rating. I didn't even look to see if it was a review, but there was 1 total rating. 6 albums, 5 of them didn't have any ratings or reviews. 1 had 1 rating. So thank you again. I get the message loud and clear. I appreciate the honesty. But you know, that's, it costs nothing but a minute of a fan's time, and the answer to that was 1 fan did 1 thing. So thank you, whoever that 1 fan was. My heart feels 1 5-star rating bigger tonight because of you. So thank you to all of you 1 person out there who lifted me up, okay? I feel seen by exactly 1 fan or friend. Might not even be a fan. Might have just been a friend saying, God, JL seems depressed. Let me do my part, as I'm sure many of his fans will. Well, fan, friend, person, maybe just somebody who meant to leave a review on someone else's album and accidentally did it on mine. Thank you. I feel seen. I feel heard. I feel worth something tonight. So thank you, 1 person who heeded my call. And to everybody else, your input is valuable too. As I wrestle with the decision to quit comedy, you help me make the decision easier. You are not the wind beneath my wings, but you are the speed with which I rip off a Band-Aid. So thank you. You are making that decision so much easier. Last week, for those of you who are making Podcast Great Again fans, it should come as no surprise that the title of the podcast was supposed to be It's a Raining Trump, which was a pun on the song It's Raining Men. But instead, the title of the song of the episode was put in by my partner as It's Raining Trump. So, you know, like I said, there comes a point where everything in comedy that you're associated with feels like disrespect, from the smallest thing, like ruining a joke while typing in a title, to your fans not rating your albums, to not having any shows on your calendar and having no clubs reply to your emails. So, guys, this is going to be a fun episode after this. Now that I've gotten that off my chest, you know, the end is near, and that's okay. And I feel, in the words of REM and Michael Stipe, who I was always impressed because I was just convinced he was living with full-blown AIDS for 3 decades, and it turns out he just looked sickly, but was not on his deathbed from 1986 till present. But as he said so eloquently, it's the end of JL's career as we know it, and he feels fine. Comedy really sucks. I don't know the rest of the words, but I don't know. This just turned into a Tommy Boy parody. Anyway, guys, let's talk about more fun stuff. But that's just an update on your 19th favorite comedian. Although I'm probably out of the top 20 for most of you. But that's okay. Thank you for even listening to this. But yeah, it gave you an update on the special. The specials. How about that? We have two specials now in development with Anally Rape JL's Comedy Career Without Lube Productions. I have three movies I want to review with you, some funny charity news, and and let's just talk about SNL right now. That's the other thing, since I don't reach anybody on Twitter anymore with my platform, as I've been shadow banned and Elon Musk hasn't fixed that in my favor. It hurt watching SNL this week because people were just going gaga over the James Austin Johnson Trump Easter thing. And I just thought, listening to it, I was like, 80% of this sketch right now is either from my Easter video in 2020 or the video I just did this week, The Passion of Donald Trump, where I basically go through the entire Good Friday story where Trump compares himself to Jesus. And of course, it was off the cuff. I think it was better, obviously. But once again, it's... history is written by the winners, and I think comedy is no different. So I can leave this chronicle to hundreds of truly uninvested, apathetic fans, and I don't blame you for that. I'm checking out of the hotel Covanfornia as well. But such a shitty place, such a tired face, when your career gets fucked up at Hotel Covanfornia. You want to end it all and hope your special comes out by the fall. I don't know, guys. I don't know. Even my music freestyle skills are abandoning me right now. But it's history is written by the winners, and I am not a comedy winner. I am a comedy loser. And so SNL and James Austin Johnson, and I have a friend, Manny, a good friend from college, who was the first to alert me to the fact that he thought, like, this was a few years ago, like pre-pandemic. He said, I think somebody at Seth Meyers is listening to your podcast, because he's like a big Seth Meyers fan, like Late Night Show. And he just started to hear things that we were doing. And by we, I mean me doing on Making Podcasts Great Again, popping up into like Seth Meyers bits on Trump. And who really cares? At this point, I don't even care if somebody's stealing from me, because I've already lost. Like, that's the one thing I'm able to sort of let go of, which is like, oh, the game's over. Like if I were still in the game, you'd hear me angry like I was in 2020 or 2021 or 2022 or last week. But I've come to a new zen place of peace right now, which is I've lost, and now I'm going to accept that. But it is just, there's a little bit of frustration still, just knowing, why couldn't I even just written for SNL? Obviously, there's very few people putting out the volume, nuance, and breadth of sort of political satire as an individual that I've put out since 2020. Like, maybe nobody. Obviously, The Daily Show is like a show with a team of writers and staff putting out lots of great stuff. SNL, same kind of thing. But as just an individual, and it's the kind of thing where I go, well, if I can't be the star, if I can't be the face, can I get a job writing? Can I be in the mix? Because is my talent and my productivity not worth a look in some capacity in this business? But when I get not rejected, but completely ignored, well, and rejected by any and all representation I seek out, there's nobody to go to bat for me. There's nobody to even make an intro or tell me when to submit for something or to alert someone of my work. It's sort of like, I just sort of don't exist in the comedy world as much as it pains me to say that, and as much as it feels like I've done things that do make me exist. For all practical purposes, between the shadow ban, no representation, seeing my own work done slightly worse in many respects, especially when it comes to Trump, and not being able to even get any kind of side opportunity or like entryway into kind of more established industry jobs in comedy, then it's a wrap. So, but it just, you know, I'm trying not to be jealous. I can be very mad about my own work and the disrespect shown to my work, but I try not to be jealous. But I just felt like, well, if I wasn't getting fucked by Twitter, at least 500,000 people would have seen my Trump Easter, like, Passion of Donald Trump video that I put out Friday morning, just based on the following I have. But I can't even get my own followers to see it. So you just, like, I've lost. You know, and I think it's maybe time for me to be a good loser, you know, instead of a sore loser. But it's, you know, the one thing I can't forgive is half blackface, because that wasn't, you know, that's unforgivable as far as this business goes, because that's obviously somebody who, through negligence, ineptitude, et cetera, really fucked the most important thing of my career. So other than that, I'm trying to not get too bogged down in jealousy or bitterness. But, you know, then you see that you put out stuff and your own followers don't see it, and they're hyping up this thing that came out days later, put together by an entire staff of professionals, and you no longer even have the corner that you built up for yourself. I no longer even have that Trump, forget even the impression, the thing I've always had a million times more than anybody else was the volume, accuracy, creation of all that specific, prescient, and over the top content as Trump and other political figures. But it's, you know, it was a real wake up call, because I was like, wow, even my own followers don't even know what I'm putting out. So it reminds me of, I think I've shared the story before, but it's one of those stories that sort of, you know, boosted my ego as a very new comedian, because I thought, well, at least my brain is on the same trajectory as like comedy stars. And it was, I did a bit early in my, or like first year of my stand-up career in DC. It wasn't even a career then. First year of trying stand-up comedy. And I had this Arnold Schwarzenegger impression that was really good. Of course, incredibly hacky. But the impression was good. And as has always been the case, it was the material that I was doing that was just a little funnier than the average impersonator. And the bit was about a Schwarzenegger family reunion, where instead of calling everybody by their full name, Grandpa Schwarzenegger or what, I was like, that's too long. So basically the joke was every Schwarzenegger referred to themselves as a nagger. Like, take out the Schwartz, and in an Arnold Schwarzenegger accent, he's walking his, like, nephew around the family reunion and going, I'm sorry, the impression is not that good anymore. I haven't done it in at least 15 years. But he's just walking around going, don't be, I can't do it anymore, but don't, listen to me, don't be a lazy-ass nigga like your Uncle Frank. You want to be a big, strong nigga like your Uncle Arnold. And it was like, it killed, and it killed with black and white. Although there was one tape where, and I always prefaced it smartly with a bit about being half black. And, you know, so 99% of audiences in DC just fucking embraced it and thought it was hysterical. So I'm doing that as like my closing bit for like months 4 through 7 of my comedy career. And then Dave Chappelle did a sketch, which was a, pardon my language, but the nigger family, a white family whose last name was nigger. And the running joke was everybody calling them the N-word. And I got texts from 3 different comics the night after that sketch, or the night of that sketch, that were just like, oh man, sorry, dude. Not suggesting Dave Chappelle stole it from me, but they were just like, oh, well, now a much more famous person has done it. So, like, your Schwarzenegger family reunion sketch is, like, done. And I took it in stride. And I was obviously a happier person back then. And not bitter and not jaded at all. I was still just very enthusiastic, and I was able to see the positive there, which was like, well, wait a second. I'm 7 months in to being a stand-up comedian, and I just did a bit that basically could have been a well-received funny sketch on a hit Comedy Central sketch show. I said, well, okay, that's something to be proud of, and to just say, okay, well, you know, maybe I got a head for this. Maybe I got a brain and some skills for this, because nothing wrong with being on the, you know, at 7 months in being having at least a moment of Chappelle show worthy comedy in your belt. So I was able to look at that positively. Now I think I need to kind of revert to that skill set again, but almost in a way of saying, hey, it's okay. It's okay if this doesn't work out. Like you clearly have Saturday Night Live impressions ability and writing ability, and it just didn't happen for you. But, you know, if you told somebody that 7 months into their career, they could have written at least one sketch for Dave Chappelle and had it made it to air, and 20 years into their career, they're at SNL's level, but just 2 days faster. That's a skill set one can be proud of, even if they are not happy at all with the results. And, you know, it just stings a little more when your own followers are like, this is amazing. And it's like, well, gee, I shared the other thing 7 times, but only 10% of my followers saw the thing I was trying to share to showcase some timely humor. So what can you do? You just have to go, okay, it's like I give up, but not in like a I'm done with life, but just like I give up because it's the healthy thing to do. It's the mentally healthy thing to do, to just accept. Maybe giving up is the wrong way. Like, I accept that this is what it's going to be, that maybe I missed an opportunity, and I, you know, the half blackface opportunity is the one that will always justifiably sting me like an assault. But beyond that, it's just maybe I had a bad face. Maybe I had a bad timing. Maybe I had a bad attitude. Maybe I couldn't help who I was, or maybe I had too much righteousness for a career that requires compromise and glad handing. Maybe I'm a dick. Maybe I look like a dick and people just found that off-putting. But whatever the reason is, this is where we ended up. And there are things that I wish were better. I wish maybe the fan base was a little more engaged, not as passive, not as just kind of passively accepting all the free stuff that comes across their timeline, but on the whole, more engaged in my stuff. But so be it. That same passive audience helped make me a lot of money and boost me in the algorithm. So everybody who became a fan of mine played a part in my success in some way. But it just doesn't feel like I had the success that I definitely didn't have the success I wanted, but I didn't have the success I think I had earned. But it is what it is. And outside of half blackface, I think I just have to accept that as them's the breaks, you know? And that's a lot of people get tough breaks in more devastating ways and tougher things than I have. So you just have to, deal with it, I guess. And I'm trying to deal with it. I want a JL Jinx update. Let's get into some funny stuff, because I got 3 movie reviews for you. But a JL Jinx update, guys. So as you know, or maybe you don't know, but from 2021 and 2022, I was like an ambassador for the charity Hope for Haiti, which does incredible work basically with healthcare and education for kids in Haiti. And the country is just a fucking utter and complete disaster right now. And the first year I raised a lot of money. I think I ended up in the last 2 years, I donated like $12,000 to Hope for Haiti, and I raised like $11,000 for Hope for Haiti, which feels about right. That's about the right ratio I get on my comedy career. But I was proud of that, and they were enthusiastic about how I was able to do it. But other people raised a lot more money than me. But hey, that's still, I was very generous out of my own pockets, and still am. I give $200 a month to Hope for Haiti, because it's just a very worthwhile charity with some nice people running it. And so they asked me this year if I'd be interested again, and I just said to them, I was like, between my shoulder pain, I'm not going to be doing any of the walking in the month of April, really, to sort of raise awareness. And I thought, I'm happy to keep donating, but I'd like to take at least this year off, because I just feel like I'm not reaching people with my platform the same way. And I also said, in total honesty, I said, I'm supposed to have a special coming out soon. And I just, you know, I'll send out some tweets and stuff, but I'd rather just not commit if I'm going to only be giving this the bare minimum attention and effort. And they're like, we understand. That's great. Thank you for your continued generosity. And I am, like, I'm putting my own money in where I just was like, I didn't want to sign up and be like, hey, I'm doing this. And then like barely make any efforts. And then like 2 weeks after I declined that, I see that they have announced their celebrity like ambassador for this campaign, Jodie Sweetin of Full House, or as I called her, Full Blouse. Not when she was a kid, but when she was all a grown ass woman. And all of a sudden I was like, that's the middle child on Full House. And that's why I called her Full Blouse, because she was fucking stacked. And I was just like, isn't that like the JL jinx? First 2 years, it's like, it's COVID, can't do anything. And I'm like, I'm raising money like a motherfucker. And then the third year, I'm like, hey, I got to bow out this year. I just got some other stuff going on physically and career wise. And but I'll keep donating, and maybe next year I'll jump back in, like give my full effort if you guys still want it, even though I'll probably have like minimal reach and a Twitter account that's on life support, thanks to Elon Musk and also the previous algorithm. And then they were just like, okay, well this year we have a stacked star from the 80s who's right in your wheelhouse, JL. She's going to be the celebrity endorser. So, and I'm just waiting for that email, which is like, and we're having a meet and greet for only our ambassadors. And, if we didn't mention this, Jodie Sweetin just broke up with her boyfriend or husband and is on the mend. And she's always said she wants to do more for the Haitian community, including possibly date and fornicate with a comedian not named Eric Andre, who's half Haitian. And it would be like, oh, well, that's funny. Well, maybe next year. No, Jody already said she is not participating at all in Hope for Haiti next year. This was a one-time offer only. JL Jinx wins again. No, obviously that's a perverse, disgusting fantasy, guys, and it's wrong. And I'm kidding. I think it's great that she's doing this for Hope for Haiti, but I just thought it was very funny that a celebrity I found attractive is like the celebrity ambassador this year. Like as soon as I back, and like next year I'll be like, I'm all in, who is it? And they'll be like, Sarah Cooper has donated her time to lead this great charity this year. So everybody give a round of applause for Sarah Cooper. And I'll be like, come on, man, why'd you do this to me? Where's Jodie Sweetin? Are you sure that, like, I don't know, does Christina Hendricks not give a fuck about Haiti? Could she be the celebrity chick this year? I mean, ambassador, whatever, sex worker. I don't know. What word are we using for ambassador this year? but that's your JL Jinx update. The JL Jinx, brought to you by Ron Reagan, not afraid of destroying JL's life. Before I get to the movie reviews for the week, one more thing. I think I met my soulmate on the train today. The only problem was I was with the righteous girlfriend. So that was threw a real wrench into it. But I'm on the train. We're headed out to see the righteous girlfriend's mom for Easter. And we're on the train and it's going all right. You know, we got one Spanish guy sitting there listening to the phone. So like watching TikTok so loudly that I was like, that's just loud regardless of whether you're fucking rude or not. That's like, I am rude and also literally deaf. And so this guy gets off though at an early train stop. So we're chilling. It's like the train's mostly empty after like Elizabeth, New Jersey. So we're having a just pleasant conversation. I'm reading the paper. We're chit-chatting. And then for the stop we're getting off at, we've got to go three cars down. only like two cars on the train open up at the stop we were getting off at. So we head back down there and we sit, and it's mostly an empty car. There's a woman sitting right across from the two of us. There's a African-American man. I always like to say I never say African-American except when I'm trying to be like clinically douchey. There's a black dude, and then there's like an older white guy, and then like one person I couldn't see. So it's a very fairly empty car. If you know New Jersey Transit, there's a large cars. But the black dude is watching something on his phone with vulgarity, of course. It's never like a Joel Osteen sermon or a kid's cartoon. It's always like, so then I put my dick up the bitch's ass and she said, wah! And so not quite that, but you get what I'm saying. So he's watching something at a volume I didn't know a cell phone could make. Like we're getting to this point now where I don't understand what we're doing as a society. And the blog that I'm currently writing, which will hopefully be up on the website tomorrow, if not Tuesday, is just about, it's specifically about Broadway theater etiquette, but it's obviously emblematic of like, basically, once we've lost Broadway, then there are no snooty places left to just act right once in a while and with decorum. But we're sitting there and this guy has his phone on so fucking loud, like so loud. It wasn't just like, oh, that's kind of annoying. It was like, that's interrupt other people's conversations volume. And don't know why nobody has fucking headphones anymore. I don't know when this became like a thing. I don't get it. I'm always embarrassed when my phone like makes a noise. I'm like, oh shit, I didn't realize that video on Facebook was going to make noise. Sorry. Now people are like, no, I'm watching porn at full volume with no headphones in this crowded train car full of fifth graders. Why? It's my right. It's a free country. I'm not hurting anybody. Fuck y'all. And so I, as a joke, something I've always wanted to do, and I decided to just do it. I took my phone out, cranked up the volume, and just started playing TikTok and just sat there, not even looking at my phone, just letting it play for about 10 seconds. And I looked to my left, and the curly, short-haired blonde woman, probably like 5 years younger than me, and the righteous girlfriend caught her give me a dirty look. And she looked at me and said, "It's okay. Everybody's doing it." And if I told you I came in my pants at that moment, do you think I'm lying? Because I looked at her and said, oh no, I was doing it. And the righteous girlfriend stepped in for me as well, having seen the dirty look. She was like, oh no, he's doing it as a joke because he thinks that's awful. This woman, other than the Invisalign braces, which I saw because I was close enough, I mean, I don't think I've ever experienced love at first sight, but I think I experienced love at first righteous indignation at what society has become, because this woman just went, yeah, everybody on this train, and it's everybody. And I go, oh yeah, the rudeness is everywhere. And she was like, yeah, everybody was just, and she said, Oh God, I'm getting hard again. She said, yeah, I guess I'm the asshole who forgot their headphones and just swiped on stuff today. I'm like, oh my God, this woman, this is like fucking Weird Science where it's like, oh my God, you curly haired, slightly younger than me, thick blonde woman who hates what society has become. Oh my God. Like I don't. And I know I'm a good actor, not just because of my tour de force performance on Billions, but the righteous girlfriend knew nothing of what was going on in my heart or in my loins, because this woman just, she kept talking and then she went the extra mile. I mean, I thought I was on like the greatest first date of my life. She goes, yeah, and it's getting worse. There was some woman on the train coming out having like a speakerphone conversation, and the ticket taker came by and said, can I see your ticket? And the woman said, can't you see I'm on the phone? And I just went, oh my God, I've made a great mistake. oh my God, I can't believe, and you're getting off at the same stop. You're getting off at the same stop. What have I done to offend the Lord so much that he would put me so close to my soulmate and yet so far? The only thing I did that was mildly flirtatious is when we were all walking off the train and going our separate ways, I just said, have a nice day. But what I really was saying with that have a nice day is, will you marry me? Because the Invisalign braces can come off. They'll be off soon, I'm sure, because her teeth looked straight to me. But she was a 7 in looks and a fucking 58 in personality. The Lord clearly hates my comedy, but just sent me an angry angel to share in this misery over what we're becoming in society. In the movie version of this encounter, there's like a fantasy sex scene where she's just like, I'm fucking doing her, and she's just whispering in my ear all the fucking things that annoy her. And she's just like, why don't they bring headphones with them? Fuck! Oh! Okay. Oh my God. And she's just like, who goes to a Broadway play and doesn't fucking silence their phone? Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh, oh, oh. Like that would be the scene for 30 minutes. It would be her like grabbing me by the neck and yelling and whispering all the things she hates about society. And they just happen to be exactly what I hate. And I said, I have to share this with the podcast because, yes, you've heard me for like 25 minutes lament what's wrong with the comedy world for me. But today, God sent me a new messenger. And I'll never see this woman again. But I will never forget this woman. The fact that she gave me a dirty look. Like, I might as well have just turned to her and said, can you please spit in my face so I know this love is real? She gave me a dirty look and then, like, passively, aggressively said to me, it's okay, everybody's doing it. Like, she was like, I don't approve, but at this point, I fucking give up. You're all fucking trash. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like I was the weeping feminine virgin in the fantasy movie scene, which is like, oh my God, this is the love I've dreamed of. This is, oh my God. It was pure ecstasy. I don't know if this was too erotic for you guys. And frankly, I don't care. That is my truth. And I'm standing in it. It was remarkable. And she was like, I swear, I looked at her and I was like, that's a nice looking lady. Not like, oh my God, you're the, but she was good looking and she might've been the greatest woman I've ever met in my life. That's all. That's all. That's all I got from 90 seconds of interaction. As they said in The Godfather, that's the lightning bolt. That's what Michael was hit with in Sicily when he saw Apollonia for the first time. The lightning bolt. So, book review coming to Patreon in a couple of weeks, guys. Thank you. Another plug for the Patreon, patreon.com/JLCovan. I don't know. It was amazing. It made me so happy in a dangerous way because I was like, I know the righteous girlfriend agrees with me, but not like this woman. This woman spoke from my soul. Like, she didn't agree with me. We became one on that train. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It was just fucking amazing. And I was just like, you know, you laugh it off. You're like, wow, that chick was like right in line with my thinking. That was fucking crazy. It's kind of nice to see somebody else thinks the same way. Am I right? But in my heart, I was having like a Bridges of Madison County moment where I was like, do I just say, I got to go to use the bathroom before your mom picks this up. I got to just use the bathroom in the train station. And then I just say, run away with me. Don't look back. What's that? You're here with your husband and your three kids? Okay, well, just kidding. Anyway, guys, that was the train adventure. Now let's do some, and that's all true. Let's do some movie reviews, shall we? I saw Air. I liked it. I thought it was good. I think it could Air, by the way, is the movie with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and Viola Davis. I do a very funny review of it on the Making Podcast Great Again Patreon. Just a reminder for any of you who subscribe to that. I liked it. I caught my nephew texting during the movie. That's like when an evangelical conservative pastor finds out that a family member of his is gay. That's how I felt sitting in a sanctified holy movie theater with my nephew, knowing that texting during movies is like a cardinal sin in my world. And then I caught him on his phone. And I just felt like, in the words of Don Corleone, what have I done to be so disrespected by you today? You don't even think to call me Godfather. But Air is good. I saw it in the local theater in Montclair. Boost, give some money to the local theater, which is very nice. It's a good movie for sure. I don't know if I'd call it great. I thought the ending stretched out a little too long. But it's, you know, in the spirit of like a Moneyball, it's kind of like a Moneyball type movie, not quite the Social Network level that I was sort of hoping for, but it was a good movie. I'd recommend it for sure. But then over the weekend I did a double feature. I went to the mall, see two movies. And the first one was Super Mario Brothers. It's not that good, but I felt like it was for kids. I'm just surprised. I see a lot of adults being like, it was amazing, it was awesome. I'm like, was it? It was like bright and kind of fun, but not like, I didn't think it was very like particularly good. And I don't think any of the voice, and I love Jack Black, you know me, but I wasn't particularly impressed with any of the voice acting choices. But it's, I don't mean this dismissively. I think it's like for kids, it's like a fun movie. Like I saw these fucking, these kids coming out of like a birthday party. And I gotta say, I know I probably come across justifiably as sort of a lonely, miserable fuck. And I can get lonely sometimes. That's just a nature of life, I guess. But it's really like simple shit that makes me happy. And just, I walked by, they have like a little party room at the movie theater. It's very simple. It's for like little kids, you know, like, hey, your kids turn 7, have a movie theater party. And I immediately thought, like, when I write a script one day, I want to have like an adult who's just like, I'm going to do all the shit that I still want to do, even though it seems insane. And I was like, imagine me and 7 of my friends having like a birthday cake in the movie theater party room reserved for generally 8-year-olds, and then just going to see a movie next door. But I saw these like 15, like little Latin kids with their parents, and they'd clearly just come from like the little birthday party setting and Super Mario Brothers. And they were so fucking happy. They were like, that was the best movie ever. And they were like, the parents were happy and the kids were happy. And I was like, yeah, I didn't think it was that good a movie, but like, I laughed a few times in the theater. The only people I fucking judged were, there was this adult couple sitting next to me. They laughed way too hard at some of the jokes. And I was like, I got to get out of comedy. Cause like, and it's a two-parter. Cause the next movie I saw the same day was Dungeons and Dragons. But at Super Mario Bros., I was like, I wanted to be like, sir, ma'am. No, it was not. That joke was not nearly that funny. Unless you are on some sort of hallucinogenic drug. No, stop it. But it's bright, it's colorful, it's family friendly. But it's for kids. I think I'm not being a dick when I say it's for kids. not in that Pixar, everybody can love it because the writing is so layered. This was more like this is a fun kids movie, a safe movie to take your kids to. If they're familiar with, like, you know, Nintendo Switch or Nintendo Wii Mario games, like, they'll enjoy it. Yeah, there's some other things that harken back to my era, so that's a little tribute for the older people who are there either as losers like me or parents like some of those happy Latin parents who are like, yay, the kids liked it, hooray. And I felt like, I was like, that made me feel, that was my favorite thing about Super Mario Brothers. It wasn't me watching the movie. It was like, well, these kids and these parents seem genuinely happy. So that's a nice thing. Good job, people who made Super Mario Brothers. Your target demo looked like they were leaving the audio, like the movies thoroughly pleased. Then I saw Dungeons and Dragons. Now this one was for me, and I'd like to say thank you to the people who made Dungeons and Dragons. I fucking loved that movie. And I loved it especially because there was so much dry humor. There was plenty of obvious humor, but there was a good amount of dry humor. And these dumb motherfuckers at Dungeons and Dragons were just like only laughing at the most obvious shit. And I was just like, I just came from a movie where some adult couple heard Mario say like, and we're like, ah! You know, it was white comedy Def Jam with Mario and Luigi. And then Chris Pine is putting in comedy work. And it's like me and some other lonely middle-aged motherfucker sitting like across the theater from me. We're howling because we're like, yes, this is gold. And everybody else is just like, Dungeons and Dragons. I'm going to put it here right. I'm not saying it's as good as Lord of the Rings, but what it was what if you made Lord of the Rings, but instead made it like a witty Ocean's 11 vibe? I loved it. Whoa, a lot of food today. I loved it. I love it. What movie? Naked Gun 33 and a third or 2.5? I forget. I think it was 33 and a third. Was it? Where he's in the toxic waste and his code, his like signal is, I love it. Anyway, Frank Drebin, Leslie Nielsen, RIP, one of the greats. And I don't know if it's, I keep saying Reggae Jean Page, but is it Reggie Jean Page? But the motherfucker from Bridgerton crushes it in this movie. Crushes it. They all fucking crush it. Everybody, even Michelle Rodriguez, not a huge fan of her. She isn't really there to be the comic relief so much, but she's good. Motherfucking Chris Pine kills it. Kills it. He is giving off like he gives off Jason Bateman humor vibes, which is high praise from this podcast. He gives off Jason Bateman humor vibes, but with like more Marvel action sensibilities and skills. So that Chris Pine is, I think he's, him and his agent, I think they're playing a really smart, good long game, which is like, he's kind of showcasing the whole talent level. He's got incredible Oscar nominated dramas like Hell or High Water, where it's just straight drama. He's played Captain Kirk, great, in the Star Trek reboots. He kills it in this as like a comedic lead. He's good looking enough to be like the good looking leading man. Like Ryan Reynolds, Chris Pine, to quote Dame from Creed 3, he's coming for all of it. Chris Pine is coming for Ryan. That's my prediction. He is coming for Ryan Reynolds because I'm going to say it right here, right now. I don't care how much you fucking sell Jesus Jones, by the way. I don't care how much fucking tequila and Mint Mobile shit you sell. You ain't Chris Pine. Chris Pine is coming for you and he is going to take what is rightfully his. Chris Pine, tremendous. Reggae Jean Page, Reggie Jean Page, tremendous. Great comedic role. And also some showcases like some really good fighting skills. But everybody, you got this woman who plays, she's like, I forget what her role is. She's like a shapeshifter. She's like a little poor woman's Elizabeth Olsen, but I'm kind of feeling her more than Elizabeth Olsen. You know who I'm talking about if you've seen the movie. Black, light-skinned black wizard kid, great. Hugh Grant, great. I don't know. It's like, I left the theater. That was like, I saw three movies that, you know, to different demographics this weekend, and Dungeons and Dragons was by far my favorite. And not, no slight to Air and no disrespect to Super Mario. Obviously, that's a little different demo, Super Mario. But I think all three hit the mark for what they were aiming for. But Dungeons and Dragons, I fucking loved it. I really did. I thought it was so good. So I know this podcast started out in sort of the usual woe is me, comedy sucks. And if you fought through, I hope there was a little bit of difference and nuance in that, because the SNL thing was both more hurtful, but also helped me gain a little bit more perspective. But once you soldiered through that, I mean, that train ride and Dungeons and Dragons made for quite the week. And I had a lovely dinner with my girlfriend and her family as well. And that's obviously important, but my goodness. The Lord was risen today. He is risen. And his first item was to send me an angel on New Jersey Transit. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, listeners of this podcast. Thank you, Chris Pine. And thank you, Comedy World. I got two specials that are Chris Pine level in a Ryan Reynolds world. So be scared, be afraid. Most likely they won't have the impact that I think they should. But just on that one in a million chance, I got a double-barreled shotgun of killer specials ready to go. So I hope to have news on those soon. I guess I'd bet on progress being made on Tallboy quicker than Half Blackface. But either way, I guess, you know, by this summer, you're going to have two new albums / two new specials that I'm proud of. And I hope if you've stuck with me this long, that at least, even if you're not inclined to give me some reviews on Apple or Amazon or both, or 5-star rate, just click the 5 stars on a bunch of my albums. If you can't do that, whatever. Who gives a shit, right? I can't keep berating you to do some stupid shit. But these two new albums / specials, these are motherfucking killers. So look forward to that, because there's no complaining about comedy on those. It's just 2 fucking hours of gut-punching, thought-provoking murder on stage. So I hope you can feel that I'm trying to leave you on a positive note. But yeah, thanks for listening. I got a busy week of work ahead of me. I'm seeing a play Tuesday. I'm seeing another movie Friday. So Patreon people, if you haven't joined the Patreon, give it a chance. But if you don't care about that, fine. But if you do, or you're already a subscriber, I'll get you another bonus episode the end of this week, a book review show the week after, and then hopefully you'll be able to start sharing some exclusive clips from Tallboy also with the Patreon people. So it's worth joining, I think, if you're a fan. But, you know, if you were a real JL fan, then you know not showing that you're a JL fan is the hallmark of being a JL fan. It's quite the catch-22. Well, thank you for listening, guys. Have a great week, and I will see you next Tuesday.